on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Everybody, welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielo.
Cody, it was a hell of an atmosphere as the Clones won 43-21 over Baylor early in the game. Like we said, it was going to be a test. They tested us deep, and as you know, the professor was adjusted in the second half. And the offense, Taylor Mauser shows once again why he's one of the most aggressive offensive coordinators in college football.
Yeah, and I mean, forget about making second half adjustments. I'm talking second quarter adjustments because right. Baylor got like their 14 to the 21 points in that first quarter. And then after that, they only – Iowa State then proceeded to go on a 40-7 run after being down 14-3 early.
Yeah, man, and I mean let's talk about some of these key plays, man. Let's talk about that interception that basically changed the course of the game. Sawyer Robertson, man. Throws that ball deep. It was the same play that we got beat on in the first half. And I was like, oh, no. I'm like, they're going to convert on this again, aren't they? And they were here. Jontez Williams comes out of nowhere, intercepts it. And that's the second straight week that he's come down with a huge play, a huge game-changing play. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, second week in a row for Jontez Williams getting interception in the end zone. And, I mean, he stepped, like, his game, he's been doing well, like, in these last, like, couple of games. I mean, today, actually, in that game on Saturday, Darren Porter was actually out. So we kind of had to have our guys, like, step up who are healthy. And Jontez Williams was one of those guys. And, I mean, he's solidified himself as that corner on the other side of the field alongside with Miles Purchase. And, I want to talk about Miles Purchase's game because in that first like quarter or so, he had like two like pass interferences, and like when I was there in the stadium in person, I thought they were really bad. And I mean, to Miles' credit, he recovered and he locked down. Like he was playing lockdown defense after that. Those struggles.
Yeah, I mean, He definitely has resilience, man. The way that just because let's talk about the reffing was horrible. A lot of those calls definitely weren't pass interference, but he didn't let that affect him. He came back and played an amazing second half. So kudos to him.
Yeah, and you actually alluded to the reffing. Real quick, like before we go into the rest of this game, I need to talk about like what happened in the rest of the college football realm related to roughing the passer. What happened in that Miami Cal game? That was absolutely egregious. Like there is no reason why that Miami player should have still been in the game. And they basically were like, I think this is like the second game, like within the past couple of weeks that Miami has been basically spoon fed a win by the officials. First, it was that TD call that didn't. Stay a TD call, and I mean you could like if you had, like you said, or I'm saying sorry, that is something that you call it on the field. You have to stick with it if it's not unless it's indisputable evidence that it's like that you can overturn it. In that case, that TD that needed to stay on the board, and Virginia Tech wins that game. And then this like missed like targeting, like that's the most textbook targeting call I have seen in college football. The defender literally leaped right into the quarterback for Cal? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lunged at him leading with his head. And I don't know why you didn't call that a targeting. That guy should have been ejected. And I think, honestly, if Miami loses that game, if that guy gets ejected for targeting.
Yeah, I mean, they keep making all these crazy escapes to all these games, man, it's gonna bite them in the butt at some point. I mean, Clemson's coming up. Clemson is rolling in their machine right now, and it seems like they're the most complete team in the ACC right now. After everybody's, I mean, because that whole league is just stinky right now. Oh yeah, and Pitt, but you know, Pitt is bound to lose a stinker game that they shouldn't.
You know, speaking of Pitt and Clemson, Pitt and Clemson do actually play each other. They play on the same week we play Cincinnati, so I think that game, if both teams are still winning, that game will essentially be like who is going to likely play Miami in the ACC championship. Because I'm looking here, Clemson does not play Miami, so they don't play Miami the regular season, and neither does Pitt. So neither team plays Miami in the regular season.
So they're just going to have to hope that whoever wins that game, Miami is probably going to play them, because it looks like Miami is probably going to go unscathed.
But yeah.
We'll see, because they just keep escaping, and it's going to bite them in the butt eventually. I don't know what game, but it's going to creep up on them. But, yeah, let's talk about some other key plays in this game. Man, Miles Mendezoon is making plays every single week, man. A few weeks ago, he had that forced fumble in the Arkansas State game. And man, he comes through with a blocked punt, man. That was insane. That, like, I know everybody in my section was going nuts. Like, whew.
Yeah. That play, absolutely. I think, you said, like, the interception, that Dontez Williams got was, like, the momentum, like, the shifter. I would personally say it was the block, punt, and scoop and score. I think that was the moment Iowa State, like, basically had control of the game, because you just heard, like, because you could hear the precise moment the crowd noise just spiked in the stadium. Miles Mendezoon gets his hands on the, like, on the, blocks the punt, and then Caden Mattson, in his interview, who said, like, he hadn't scored a TD since high school, man, scoops it up and then gets the TD. And he also said this in the same interview. He actually blacked out while, like, running the ball. So he didn't even know, like, if he wasn't for sure. Like, he still had the ball in his hand. Because, like, it's just such a rush. Like, that's just such something. Like, your adrenaline is running through you so high. I think, yeah, you might black out sometimes in that moment. But, yeah, just a great special teams play. And, I mean, that's just one of the phases that Iowa State won. And we actually won in all three phases of football. We won on the offensive side of the ball, we won on the defensive side of the ball, and we won in special teams. And like old Matt Campbell saying, winning in the margins, and that's exactly what we did. Special teams, I consider, are the margins, because those are the types of plays that can easily shift the momentum.
I mean, the fact that, like, you know, the whole winning in the margins thing, we finally have figured it out in the ninth season of Matt Campbell. Like, we have finally figured it out. Like, offense, we're good. We have a really, really high scoring differential. We have a top five defense in points allowed. Special teams doesn't make really any mistakes. We're scoring, like, compliment, like, the story of this year, Cody, is complimentary football. Like, and the fact, and it's just like, I've seen a mindset change by this team. It's just like, they're taking it one game at a time, and that's such a cliche thing to say. And it's just like, but like, when you see them at the, like, spirit walks and stuff, you see they're all locked in. Like, they are, like I said before, this team is hungry, bro. Like, they want to win. And that's why I have confidence saying that we can win every single week that we're on the, field.
Yeah, and I'm confident too. I think in years past, like, we've seen our teams, like, obviously mentality kind of fold, but this year it's different, and I think it's actually been showing on the field. We are much more mentally tough. I think we've learned a lot, like, throughout these past few years, like, obviously, like, these first few years under Campbell, like, obviously, year nine, but these are the kinds of things, like, Matt Campbell's went, like, he's building a football program the old school way. You're recruiting guys, like, out of high school. You're picking a couple things here and there in the transfer portal, and you're developing them, not to just, like, great football players, but you're developing them into great young men. And it shows time and time. It's showing time and time again with all, like, the outside things that these players have done outside of football. So building that community, and it's clearly like in the community support in turn is giving these players like an extra boost, knowing that they're playing for more than just what's on the front and back of their jersey. They're playing for an entire university, an entire city, an entire fan base. So that's just goes to show just the evolution of the Iowa State football program under head coach Matt Campbell. And it's great to see, and I'm just very happy about this team. And I think that this team is definitely on the right path to going to great places, like perhaps like winning the Big 12, making the college football playoff. Like, it's there. Like, it's right there for this team. It's just a matter of if they can actually like fulfill that. And I think we have the guys to do it.
Right. And what one thing that showed me is because they were ready for people to run onto the field after that game. I'm like, well, that shows you that the expectations have been raised. Like, if this was any other, like, Iowa State year, people probably would have, oh, we're 5-0, this is amazing. But, like, everybody knows that this team is capable of doing something. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, we're 5-0, but there's a whole lot more to go. Everybody is basically, everybody else in the conference is basically preying on our downfall. Oh, yeah, y'all are going to lose eventually. What if we don't? What if we go 7-0? What if we get to 9-0? Like, as I'm saying, like, we're here to stay, y'all. We ain't the same. This ain't your daddy's Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy just to see how in a few years' time, Iowa State goes from being the program that became the hunter and to becoming the hunted. And that is just the impact of what this tenure has done for the program. And it's honestly like it's a feeling like I'm not used to, but it's one like I think this team is ready to embrace. They're ready to embrace being the hunted, being the top dog, being the team that everybody wants to take down. And I think this team is certainly stepping up to it. And just and then I just want to kind of quickly allude to like us being 5-0. I need to just get a quick tangent off. Listen, it's crazy seeing how 180 this scheduling goes, because we used to clown on Iowa for them, for their schedule. Now they're clowning us for our schedule. It's crazy to see. I'm sorry, but I don't think you should be talking when you finally score points against a ranked opponent. You got outscored in your last, like, however many games against a ranked opponent, 165-7.
Oh, man. The salty Iowa tears are great. Everybody is transferring out now. Like,
yes,
yeah.
Red shirt. Who is it? Caleb Brown. I saw him. So he announced he was taking a red shirt year. And then who was the running back? Williams. He just announced he's announcing he's taking this red shirt and entering transfer. I don't want to know what I'm not sure what's going on at Iowa. We'll see what goes on as the days go. But right now we need to focus on Iowa State, and we need to focus on just that game in general. Our game against Baylor, because I just like obviously that game had a lot to dig into, and we haven't even gotten to like just to dive deep of itself. First off, Jalen Jackson.
Man, Jalen Jackson, he is our little spark plug. He has studied this running game. Everybody was like, well, I want to see it to believe it, bro. He has proven himself time and time again. The fact that he just hit him with his elite speed, he scored twice on Saturday. Carson Hansen had a great time. And we got to talk about this offensive line, Cody. This is the third straight game where Iowa State has rushed for over 225 yards. They are mauling guys. And man, Jalen Travis, him, Dylan Barrett had a much better game. Like, I want to give this offensive line kudos, because we're finally seeing the maturation of this offensive line under Clinton.
Yeah, so on the main Fox broadcast, shout out to Tim Brando, Devin Garner. They called a great game on Saturday. They mentioned just like how consistent the right side of the line is with Brendan Black and Tyler Miller, and it was the left side that had a little bit of concern. But right. I mean, you shifted Dylan Barrett, and that's a left tackle, correct?
Yeah,
yeah, and then you have Jalen Travis at left guard. Like, you shifted, like, you put them in a great spot to prosper, and they did exactly that. I mean, they were opening up a lot of holes for our running backs, and just allowing both Jalen Jackson and Carson Hanson to really, really run the ball all over this like Baylor defense, who isn't particularly great at defending the run. But I mean, right. when you're opening up holes like that, it gives your running backs a lot of opportunities to really gain a lot of yards. And speaking on the running back holes, I think this is something that's the positive. Like, I'm just going to do real quick positive negative. That's a positive that we had with our running game. The negative is like Abu Sama. I noticed it a few times where he like kind of doesn't take like the right holes, like, because the offensive line did open a lot of holes. Abu Sama just doesn't. He sometimes doesn't take like the right running lanes, and he just runs right into defenders, and like either don't gain any yards or lose yards. But I think even though like Abu Sama has been like had that struggle in Baylor, I think it's something that we're still going to need Abu Sama. Like, I'm not giving up on him at all. Because, because as the season goes on, you're going to need like some guy to give you like a big explosive play. And I think that's the capability of Abu Sama. He's the guy that you go to when I think that's a skill set. Once he gets out of like the big like pile of dudes, he's basically gone. You're in a track race against him, but you're running against Usain Bolt essentially.
Right, each guy has a unique skill set that they're good at. He's a home run hitter. Carson Hanson. I couldn't remember his last name. Carson Hanson is a short yardage guy. If you got want to get in there for 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, he can pick it up. Mm-hmm. And then you got the change of pace back in Jalen Jackson, where he can be a home run hitter guy and he can get you yards when you need it.
Yeah, and I think Jalen Jackson, he's the elusive one as well, because on his 2 touchdown runs, he has some really good elusive maneuvers. I mean, you talk about planting number 0 on the ground, like having concrete feet, and then on his 2nd TD run, he turned number 22 around it was nothing. That was some great moves from Jalen Jackson, and yeah, I mean, they called it in the broadcast booth, call him Action Jackson. What a great nickname for him.
How do you do? Yeah, I bet. I love Tim Brando. Man, and QB1 has some good runs too. I mean, he shook that one dude out of his shoes.
Oh yes, he reminded me of who was it? Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy broke somebody's ankles one time on a QB run, and this time around so basically all of our running was like basically somebody's ankles were hitting the ground. Like, we talk about the turf monster grabbing everybody, because that happened a few times where the turf, like, basically tackled the guy for us, but and Baylor. But in our case, like, the turf monster got him. And, I mean, Rocco's just collecting ankles like it's NIL money. He's collecting them like they're Sweet Caroline's chicken wings, which are good shit, by the way.
See, I still got to try that Sweet Caroline's, please. There's still a lot of new Ames restaurants I got to try.
Yeah. But
let's talk about the tandem of Higgins and Noel. Once again,
yes.
They produce mm-hmm. that trusty fade route. Man. And let's talk about Jalen Noel for a second. Jalen Noel with the difficulty of his catches. That one where he's jumped up and caught it.
Yeah.
And then just him being able to be open down that seam on that post route.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful throw by Rocco.
Yeah, I mean, both Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel basically, like, they both easily could have finished 100 yards. Jalen Noel was 2 yards short of finishing with 100 yards receiving, but that just shows you the capabilities of our receiving core. When you have two guys it basically getting 100 yards receiving, and then Jaden Higgins continuing extending his school record of the most consecutive games with a receiving touchdown. It's now at 7 after that classic fade route to Higgins, where it's just like you basically throw it in his direction. He's going to find a way to get the football. It doesn't matter how well you're guarding him. He'll just find a way to snatch the ball out of your hands.
Yeah, bro. He's probably going to be the best pro receiver prospect that we have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be my hot take. But, man, I mean, man, Rocco once again has a solid game.
Yep.
I think that interception was more based on him trying to get rid of it, and then he was like, "Oh crap."
Yeah, I think that actually what it was like. Yeah, he was trying to. At first, it looked like it looked like just a bad throw, but then like it basically looked more like he was trying to get the throw the ball out of bounds, but because the pressure came in like so quick and Rocco did not anticipate it, he didn't have the strength to get the ball out of bounds. So it's the right play, but just unfortunately you didn't have enough strength on it.
Right.
But I mean, other than that, like I think we actually were moving the ball well. Like on those two drives where we didn't get points in the red zone, we moved the ball well, and that's what I like to see out of this offense. Like, would I love to score points? Absolutely, but at least there's a progress there with us being able to move the ball early.
Yeah, I think this offense has probably another level or two where it could just be flowing. Just flowing with at an ease where you can just be quick strike. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. And the fact that we're 5-0 and like we have not even played our best ball, I think I fear anybody who's going to play against us in our best ball, because it's always a trend under Matt Campbell to get better as the season goes. But now the fact that we're 5-0 and we still haven't played our best ball yet, I fear anybody who steps up to Iowa State.
I'm saying, bro, especially Trice now that we're 5-0. I mean, all of these games, I bet you for the rest of the year are going to be sold out.
Yeah, for sure. It should be.
And the tickets are going to go fast for Arrowhead, especially with Kansas being horrible.
They'll try to limit us, but we're still going to get those tickets. They've tried to limit the Iowa State fans getting them, but we're going to find to get them one way or another.
We'll find a way. We're gonna take over Arrowhead. But man, we need to look at this crazy weekend of college football, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's share that screen.
Yeah, I got you.
Have a few more thoughts.
Before we do, I've got a few things in mind. So in one of the postgame interviews for Jalen Jackson, Sean Roberts, I think, posted said to him he referred to the running back room as Earth, Wind, and Fire. So this is something I made right here, and it's literally Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's dope. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to that the band earlier, and obviously I saw in the comments that it referred to Jalen Jackson as Earth, Carson Hansen as Wind, and Abu Salma as Fire.
That makes total sense.
Yep. And then earlier today, somebody mentioned this. And I had to make this. This is just a good meme. I had to make this meme. Puntman.
Baylor's up to something.
That was exactly what it was. Like, cause somebody like put like somebody like says Puntman, and I told him like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna make this thing, and I would tag him, and I tagged him. So that was honestly fun. Iowa fans, eat your heart out, because I just did this before you could ever. You had Tory Taylor. You had a chance to make a punt, man, but you didn't. So that's another win against Iowa for us.
You should definitely, yeah, bro. You need to copyright that before somebody steals that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get the trademarked. All right. Anyways, let's go to what we were talking about earlier. Talk about major upsets. I mean, let's see if I can find just that. There were quite the. It was quite chaotic. This is week 7, sorry. Just some notable games. I mean, technically, yeah, this is technically a ranked upset right here. Syracuse over UNLV. UNLV finally entered the top 25, but then they get taken down by Kyle McCord and the Orange. Kyle McCord with 355 passing yards, so he was just absolutely torching the UNLV Rebels. Yeah, right here. 3 touchdowns and only 1 pick. And then Allen with 71 yards and 2 touchdowns on 19 carries. And then Gadsden the second with 10 receptions, 142 yards. So this was, I mean, UNLV didn't play too bad either. This was just basically like a shootout, like right until the end.
It's one of those fun Friday games. I mean, these Friday games have been getting better and better every week.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving them. I'm loving the fact that we're having these Friday night lights games.
Yeah, and then Houston gets a huge win over TCU. Man, what is going on in Fort Worth?
I don't know, but good thing we played Houston the week before this. Good thing I think it's just the fact that it's just the trust in Willie Fritz, and obviously he was still getting adjusted to Power 4 football, And I'm glad we got him out of the way, because I do not want to be facing him right now.
I completely agree.
Yeah, but the way Willie Fritz turned around Tulane, yeah, even after our game against them, I trusted Willie Fritz to turn the team around. And I think with more time now, they are looking decent. Like, they're looking decent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, completely.
Watch out for them pulling off, like something here. They could possibly ruin somebody's season. Because, I mean, look who they have coming to their building.
Utah and K-State in back-to-back weeks.
They could ruin their season.
Can you imagine if Cam Rising still doesn't come back by then and they beat Utah?
Oh no. That will likely knock Utah out of the playoff race. That's going to knock them out of the playoff race more than likely.
Man. Now, all right. Obviously the upset of the day. Vanderbilt beats Alabama 40-35. Mm-hmm.
Dylan Pavia, what a legend. I mean, I saw like the tier list of like, I think it was like SEC or something, and it was Dylan Evan Pavia at the top. I mean, that man's not going to have to buy any beer. He's not going to have to buy any food in the city of Nashville probably for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His name is Diego Pavia. Oh,
Diego. Sorry.
No, that's not good.
Yeah.
But you know
what's funny about that? So right after that ended, I think it was on the Pat McAfee show a few weeks ago. Nick Saban was quoted on saying, like, the easiest place to win on the road in the SEC was Vanderbilt, and it came back to bite him.
Man, they played that video too, apparently.
Yeah, they did. Like, it was like right when the fans were storming the field.
I love that, man. And then Tennessee, the young quarterback Nico Imaliava. They lose to Arkansas, man. This is a very, very interesting game. This is one of the puzzling ones for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, Arkansas just, they must have just been coming out with a chip in their shoulder. I mean, see, anything, no passing touchdowns for Yamaliava. I mean, they were up 14-3 in the third quarter. It was just an ugly game in the first half. Then the second half came through. And the Tennessee defense just not able to stop Arkansas. Just giving up, was that a 16-0 run to end the game after they took the lead in the third quarter. And that's just one of those things where there's no excuse. Like, you should be able to stop Arkansas, like, when you have a double digit lead, because you're given the talent levels of Tennessee's defense. And Tennessee's defense is one of the best in the country. I think they still are, but right, that is not a great showing for them.
Yeah, and like, you look at Arkansas's results, man, they're a few points away from being undefeated right now. Like, mm-hmm. They lost a heartbreaker to A&M, and man, that Oklahoma State game.
They were up on them.
They were up on them, man. Yeah, you got to think, they're like, dang, we're like a few points away from being undefeated. Speaking of undefeated, man, Indiana goes up to Evanston, beats Northwestern. 6-0. That is an unreal start by them.
And I think, what, are they now like the first Big Ten team to be bowl eligible?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, Kurt Cinetti and the boys in Bloomington are just taking care of business. Now, obviously, they have been getting some slack about their schedule. And I mean, it's simple. Like, I get it, but I guess at the end of the day, you have to play who's in front of you, and you just have to win those games. And I think that's exactly what Indiana's doing. Yeah, the opponents may not be the greatest, but at the end of the day, you have to play the game and you have to win the game. Like, you have to take care of business, and Indiana's doing that right now. Now, looking at their schedule, that in the game against Nebraska in 2 weeks should be an interesting one.
Yeah, that is going to be looming large. That Michigan game, and hey, who knows, bro? Like, if they the way that Michigan lost by two touchdowns yesterday, I mean, that game at Ohio State could be a game day game. Who would have thought that before the season?
I don't know, but I mean, that's just crazy to see. I mean, Michigan coming off like a 10-point loss to at Washington. So, I mean, that Washington game has a little more juice in it now because of that win. So, I mean, that's a good stretch. Like, this is going to be an interesting stretch for Indiana to see if they're legitimate. Hosting Nebraska and Washington back-to-back weeks, then you have to travel to East Lansing. I think you should be able to take care of Michigan State, but like, and then versus Michigan, we'll see how Michigan is, but like, they can't obviously pass. That one's looking more like a win for Indiana, but who knows? Yeah. And then you have to go at the horseshoe. You have to go at the shoe in Columbus to take on the Buckeyes, who just like dominated Iowa essentially in that second half. I mean, the first half was a bit like it was 7-0, and I think it was more indicative of Ohio State just tripping over themselves. But once they limited the mistakes, they just poured it all over the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I mean, and for Ohio State, this could be the Indiana game could be a tricky game because I know that could be a total letdown look ahead because they are hungry and are frothing at the mouth to beat Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They play them at home. They're hosting Michigan this year, and they're like, man, we need to beat these guys. We haven't beaten them in 3 years.
Yeah. I think Ryan Day needs that win. If he does not win that game, then who knows? Like, if he's even going to still be the head coach at Ohio State, because that's what some fans have been calling for his head because of it. But I mean, obviously, we just alluded to Michigan earlier taking the upset to Washington. We also alluded to Indiana being undefeated. But let's go up back to the SEC, and we're talking about a team that's no longer undefeated. And we're talking about the number 9 Missouri Tigers heading down to Kyle Field and getting the doors blown off of them by the Texas A&M Aggies.
Yeah, this was the game basically to show people if Missouri was for real or not. Because if you look at their two previous games before this,
mm-hmm.
they had to struggle to beat Vanderbilt in overtime.
Yep.
Which now sort of looks like a better win because Vanderbilt beat Bama.
Yeah.
And they struggled with Boston College too. So
they kind of neutralize each other essentially.
They kind of neutralize each other. And everybody was like, well, is Missouri sort of fraudulent?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this doesn't really help the case.
No, not at all.
So, like, they could be. They could still be good, but like, when you. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, and then we have some more upsets. Obviously, number 11 USC being taken down by 7 against Minnesota. So that's another upset. Obviously, Minnesota rushing the field. I saw the clip of a Minnesota fan yelling at a USC player, "Welcome to the Big Ten." That was I saw that. I don't know where I saw it, but I just saw it and I thought that was just hilarious. Yep, SMU taking down number 22 Louisville.
Yeah, that was a great win for them at Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's just like, those are just the big, like, ranked upsets. And then obviously, we can go back to the Big 12 here after that. West Virginia absolutely pounding Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's broken. Like, that's a broken program, it's still water. They're broken.
They are broken, man. Oh, now move to 0-3 in the Big 12. And I don't know what's going on there, but something has got to give. Something's got to change.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but I mean, West Virginia just a few weeks ago were looking dead in the water, 1-2. Now they're 2-0 in Big 12 play, and I mean, I love West Virginia as well, and this is what I love. Like, so this comes from their official Twitter account. Let me see if I can share this real quick. This came from their official Twitter account. So this is no Barstool, no nothing. This is their official Twitter account.
I love it.
The broken battles. The level of pettiness from West Virginia. Like, I love them so much for that.
Shaped like as an N and an L.
I didn't even notice that. But good pickup on that. UCF dropping the game in the swamp. Now, I think we had said like this would have been like a tough, like, this would have basically been, like, depending on who starts a quarterback, and we thought it was DJ Lagway. It looks like they started Graham Mertz, and, I mean, Graham Mertz did all right.
Yeah, he did all right. I mean, their defense played well, probably their best game of the season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, UCF is not reeling, and apparently they lost some guys to the portal as well. So, they're sort of falling off UCF.
Yeah, they're in the same boat. Because I mean, they basically have no like. I think they have no pass game, I believe, and they're like a one dimensional team. Because if like you stack the box against UCF, they can't really do much. Because KJ Jefferson, I thought he was going to be solid for UCF this year, and I thought UCF was going to be like a solid contender to be in the Big 12 title game. Now that's in question. Because of that, because them dropping the game at Colorado, now they need to really like actually like start winning. Like they need to start winning now.
Yeah, I mean, the sense of urgency is right there. I mean, they host Cincinnati this week, right?
I believe so. They host Cincinnati, so that should be a winnable game for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see. Yep. And then Kansas continues to reel. They're 1-5 now, so.
Oh, and three, and wow.
Yeah.
Arizona State, talk about the Sun Devils. I mean, that was a much needed game for both teams to really like stay alive in the race. And Arizona State, I'm loving this Sun Devils team. They're looking real pretty good.
Kenny Dillingham is a great coach. Mm-hmm. He just needed time to do it. And then I think they're like 4-2 overall and 2-1 in the conference, I believe.
Oh, no, they're 4-1.
4-1, okay.
Their only loss is to Texas Tech. And Texas Tech was in they visited Arizona. And from start to finish, they were they were on them. I mean, they were up 15. Arizona started to come back a little bit. I mean, Taj Brooks with a couple turnovers, dropping the ball a couple times, and gave Arizona a chance. They took a 1-point lead, but then Texas Tech ends the game on a 10-0 run or whatever, or 10-3 run to essentially seal the game.
Man. Yeah, this is an interesting week. And now you look at Iowa State and Texas Tech. Homecoming matchup could be just like we talked about in the offseason. That could be a ranked versus ranked matchup, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, this bye comes at a pretty good time for Texas Tech, week 7, so they can watch a little bit more football, see what's happening around them before that game. But I mean, in the meantime, we could just take a look at the next couple of weeks here for the Big 12. We might as well, just because of like how chaotic the Big 12 is right now.
Right.
On Friday, October 11th, you've got number 16 Utah traveling to Mountain America Stadium to take on the Sun Devils.
Yeah, man, it's going to be the question: is Cam Rising ready to play or no? Like, is he going to play or not? That's going to be the question. Like,
that could easily be a meme at this point. I could honestly just make another meme just about this. Like I need to find the right template and make this, because this is getting a little ridiculous here. For if you're a Utah fan, this has to be like playing with your feelings, because like this should be like not acceptable. Like right. You can't just be having like your big star quarterback constantly like on the is he going to be playing? Is he not going to be playing? It's like the day to day game time decision and all of this. It's just no. We need, if you're a Utah fan, you need a deliberate answer as to whether he's playing the rest of the year or not.
Right, are you a player now? Like, come on, let me know.
Yeah. Other matchups Saturday, we just mentioned earlier, Cincinnati UCF, and then Arizona at BYU. Now, this one is the big noon kickoff game. This is the game that got a lot of big noon kickoff, and it's a very interesting choice for that.
Yeah, it makes sense, because Arizona went in last week and beat Utah, so... Or not, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
And beat Utah. So it should be interesting. This one, I'm definitely going to be tuning into that one.
Mm-hmm. And then at 7 p.m., you've got a Riot Bowl, Iowa State, West Virginia. That should be a fun one.
This is going to be a great game. Iowa State's run defense is going to be tested this game. Mm-hmm. West Virginia, this is a crazy stat, bro. They ran for 389 mm-hmm. yards.
Yeah. I saw that. I'm like, okay. I'm honestly glad that we don't have significant like injuries like to our defensive line, because we need them. Because I saw throughout the game, our defense were dropping like flies. I mean, Dominique Orange, J.R. Singleton.
I'm so glad they came back in. I'm like, yeah. Doesn't he come back? I'm like, oh, nice.
Yeah, and then we probably need Darian Porter as well. So I'm hoping, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he was out, but he said it was a game time decision, so I'm guessing they just wanted to take precautions. So hope we see Darian Porter back, and I think that defense is going to be tested. But, I mean, I think if the guys are actually, like, capable of stepping up, if they step up, then they'll be able to take care of business.
Yeah, and then we got the last game, finally, we got Big 12 after dark. We have Kansas State at Colorado, which I think will be a very sneaky good game at Folsom in Boulder.
Yeah, now, with the way Colorado is playing right now, this is a huge game for them. If they get this win right here, I think they could easily knock Kansas State out of the race for the Big 12 title.
Yep.
And, I mean, Kansas State is a 4.5-point favorite, but honestly, with the way like they've looked against like Baylor and the way they decimated UCF, that defense against UCF, I think they might have something. Like, they have like a defense capable of playing like onto the level of the of Kansas State.
Well, and let's mention that K-State's secondary is still sort of shaky. So I expect Shadur to try to expose that secondary.
Yeah, him and Travis Hunter going to be able to exploit that. That is – that. Honestly, I don't know if I'm going to be – like, Saturday is just – it's such a good day. Like, this week's – like this yeah, whole slate is great. But, yeah, forget, like – yeah, not just the Big 12, but nationally. Like, we're looking national. Like, we've got some midweek action. I'm loving to see this. I love this. I'm starting to see – we're starting to see midweek college football, which is beautiful. We've just got some notable matchups. Coastal Carolina, James Madison is one to look out for. This could be a good matchup right here.
Ooh.
Thursday. So yeah. If you're a bit of a sicko like we are, watch this one. And I mean it's on Thursday, so I could probably watch that at Muggs.
Memphis and South Florida is gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just continuing to fight for that G5 spot in the college football playoff.
Yeah. We'll see what else we got.
Here we are, Saturday, October 12th. Big one right here, down here. The Red River Shootout. Texas at OU. Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw a scenario. It'd be like, wouldn't it be funny if Oklahoma ruined the season of Texas?
That would be hilarious. That would be comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big game right here. There's some other ones here. Florida, Tennessee is a
That one is going to be closer than what the experts predict. I think Florida, Tennessee is always a close one. The quarterback for the Colts,
Anthony Richardson. Yeah,
they were up in that game, and then Tennessee had a furious comeback. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, this week. Ooh, and then you got Ole Miss, LSU, Oregon, Ohio State.
Oh, those are good. Like these are good right here. I mean, Ole Miss traveling to Death Valley, and then Ohio State traveling to the Autzen Zoo. Yeah, look out for that.
That's gonna be a good matchup, bro.
Vanderbilt, Kentucky just got a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, and then. The late game is Boise State traveling to Hawaii to take on the Rainbow Warriors. We'll see if Boise State can continue making that run to the G5 spot and winning the Mountain West.
Yeah, Ashton Janty has been putting up video game type numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a crime if he's not in New York by the end of the year.
Yeah, Ashton Janty needs to be a Heisman finalist if he keeps up this season. So, yeah, this was a longer-ish like reaction show, but there's because there was just so much to dive into last weekend, and I'm very glad we were able to. And what a fun weekend of college football we had overall. And there's more to come,
man. Stay tuned for Wednesday. We're actually going to try and find a host this week for West Virginia, so yep. I will be looking in the Twitterverse to see if we can find somebody. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm going to say some few things real quick, do some little bit of advertising. So if on Twitter, he can be reached at Matt Campbell Impersonator.
That's correct.
I'm at SciTyGuy. DM us if you have any questions. Also, we can be found on social media at Instagram, X, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Believe in Iowa State. BLEAV. Believe. Also, we can be found on your favorite podcast contributor slash provider. So that is your long preview show for Tyler Carter.
And from Cody Vanciulello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go, Cyclones.